At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter by the qualities that are most important to you. Then, book free 15-minute consultations with any therapist you're interested in seeing. And because 95% of therapists at Alma accept insurance, you can find care that's affordable too. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy30 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy30.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring. Boring.
You gotta get bored by baseball.
Hey, one thing the game needs is more people like you. You.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
Mookie Betts.
Daniel Bard.
Steve Aoki.
Jared Saltalamacchia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball
isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
I hope everybody's having a great day. We're going to try to make it a little bit better. Baseball isn't boring. Subscribe. So once again, if you subscribe to the account, the podcast, it pops up in your phone, you hit play, and I think your day is going to be a little bit better. That's what we're trying for. Baseball's around the corner. Real baseball is around the corner. And I know that Dodgers and Padres already played. Real baseball on North American soil is around the corner. All right. Well, at the beginning of your day, we're going to give you this podcast. And first of all, we dropped, if you missed it, we dropped all the audio from the Shohei Ohtani announcement, from the Shohei Ohtani press conference. We dropped that audio. Go to our feed to check that out if you want to listen to what Shohei Ohtani said through his interpreter. Also, you know, his take, his detailed take, pretty detailed take, I think, more detailed than we thought, perhaps, on all that controversy regarding the gambling scandal with his former interpreter. So my overall takeaway, and we're going to have other people come on. We're going to have our betting analyst, Jonathan Papelbon, come on in the next couple of days to break things down like only he can. I know you're looking forward to that. I am too. But my initial take was, I kind of believe him. I do. What he said, the timeline, the specifics, I kind of believe him. Maybe I'm naive. I don't know. All I know is this. I can sit here and kind of believe him, but ultimately, they're going to look into this stuff. And if it comes out where it's not right, then it's going to obviously look three times as bad. So why I can have the initial take, and everyone can have their initial take. Everyone can believe that he isn't telling the truth, that there's more to it, everything else. I do believe that there's too much information out there readily available for everybody, not only the investigators, but everybody, that the truth will come out, that we will find out what happened, what happened. And if it lines up with what Shohei said, and also what is the next level in terms of what he didn't say? It'll come out. So let's just hang on. I don't know. Nobody wants to do that. But my initial take off of that press conference was that I kind of believe what he said. And again, if you didn't hear what he said, go back, listen to it. It's on the Baseballs and Boring feed. All right. So that's, there you go. That's my Shohei Ohtani hot take for the morning. And what, like you said, I'll leave it to the, our gambling expert, our betting expert, Jonathan Papelbon. Soon, coming soon. All right. Well, we have two people on the podcast today who are at different ends of the spectrum to end their spring trainings to head into the 2024 season. You have one of the older guys, Chris Sale, who punctuated his spring training. Ooh, 3 innings, 6 strikeouts. Looking good. He'll start Sunday's game in Philadelphia for the Atlanta Braves. So we caught up to Chris Sale at the beginning of spring training. Let's bookmark it, or bookend it. Not bookmark it. Bookend it. Let's bookend it with catching up with Chris Sale once again. So we catch up with Chris Sale after his last spring training outing. And he's always good. Always good. Always good to talk to. So then I want to give you a different perspective. There's a lot of people that we could talk to, give the prospect perspective, the youngster's perspective. So we have one. The number 26 overall MLB pipeline prospect, the Boston Red Sox second overall prospect, according to MLB pipeline, Roman Anthony, outfielder. He is representing the youth. All right, before we get to Roman Anthony, we're going to have a little sit down, get together. Well, really, Chris Sale's media availability after his last spring training outing. All right, again, rate, review, subscribe. Here you go. Here's Chris Sale.
Happy and even more excited about, you know, what the next few months had.
Yeah, no, this is what we were looking for. You know, had some things to work on early on and felt like we were able to do that. And being able to have something like this for the last one was you know, good one to end on.
In particular, like, it looked like you, like, kind of eased into it and then, like, throttled down in the last inning. You kind of feel like you, it looked like you were able to let it be.
Yeah, no, I think that that's kind of what we're looking for, is just kind of, you know, pacing myself and really kind of solidifying my delivery before we start putting max effort into it. So, you know, again, today was what we were looking for, and it was nice to have that for the last one going into the season.
When earlier this spring, you had talked about the importance of being healthy at the end of the season, being healthy in spring training, being healthy in the off season. Can you feel the effects of that now that you've gotten to the end of spring training?
Yeah, no question. I feel like, you know, I'm still strong now like I was at the beginning of spring. You know, luckily didn't really run into anything, you know, no hiccups during spring training, which is nice. Knock on wood, but yeah, I mean, that's what all the work was for, and it was nice to end healthy, have a full off season, and then get the spring training on time and be ready, prepared for that. You know, and being able to focus on just baseball activity stuff, not so much, you know, holding your breath, waiting for the next thing to break or fixing something that, you know, might be hurting a little bit. It was, you know, this entire spring training was just about baseball and working on mechanics and competing and, you know, it was all focused on baseball. None of it was focused on health. So that was nice.
In that respect, you look back a year ago about how you ended out, because you had a good spring last year too. Do you feel different now than you did when you came out of camp last year?
I do. I feel like, again, I didn't really have a great off season last year. So I got to spring and I had a great spring. Nothing really came up then either. It was just, you know, my starting point was later, so, you know, it was a little bit different. But, you know, I'm excited, you know, with where I'm at and, you know, to get this thing going. You know, obviously we're leaving tomorrow, so it's real now. So we're all prepared for that and we're ready to roll.
Driving up 75, like, do you ever, like, just find yourself instinctively, like, turning off around exit 131?
No, but I wish I was. I logged over 1,200 miles a week. So what was, the spring was what, 7 weeks?
Yeah.
6 weeks, 7 weeks? So I was basically driving from my house to Connecticut once a week. So my Uber career is calling when I'm done, and I think I should be a 5-star ride. So
what was the longest it took you? Like today there was...
Oh, today was a bit, was not great. I think today, there was one day it took me 2 hours.
Okay.
Most days it was like an hour. I made it an hour and 15 once, like on a Sunday morning, early in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And it's taken me up to 2 hours. So generally it was like hour and 20, hour and 35 mm-hmm. minutes.
Yeah.
So it wasn't bad. Drink some protein, drink a coffee, listen to some music, stand-up comedy, whatever it was, and it wasn't bad.
51 going RJ on this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this was the number I wore when I was a kid, obviously, because of Randy Johnson. So, and I just, you know, I feel like everywhere I went, I wanted to have a new number, just kind of, you know, clean slate. And this was an easy choice. Plus 41 was taken, so, you know, but I had planned on changing before I got that information. So, but yeah, you know, it was what I wore as a kid. And, you know, it went my dad and then Randy Johnson in my house. So, you know. It's cool to be able to do that.
How about just, you know, first time you can go into a season healthy since, what, 19? But because of what you went through the last few years, is there a little bit more not nervousness, but more excitement just about anticipation?
Yeah, I would say just appreciation, too. Yeah. Like, I've, you know, come to be able to respect where I'm at and just being honest with myself. And, you know, I know, like, I've said this, you know, plenty of times, but... You know, you feel like you get to the top of the mountain and you get knocked down, and it's a tough pill to swallow, you know. So I kind of respect the game and appreciate just the process a little bit more and where I'm at and what I'm doing, who I'm doing it with. You know, I know this game doesn't last forever, and obviously I've had the greatest moments of my life in this game. I've also had the worst moments of my life in this game. So being able to balance that out and just kind of take it all in and you know, respect that whole as a whole, you know, it makes it more enjoyable when you can look through it with that one.
Have you done anything different? Like, have you tweaked anything, whether it's your routine, pitch, anything at all, have you done different this spring since you got here?
Some minor things, but nothing overwhelming. I would say I just kind of sandwich the week with recovery, so it's like recovery on day one and recovery the day before. You know, it used to be kind of get a lot of work in on the front end, and I just felt like I was getting gassed. So, you know, just kind of sandwich the week with some recovery aspects of it. You know, I'm not 25 anymore, so, you know, it's a little bit more important for my routine and what I have to do to be successful and be able to go and do that.
Getting back to the exit 131 question, like, how much connection is there from you, has there been for you and the Red Sox? Like, they're by your house.
Yeah.
Has the connection remained, like, you know, kind of reaching out to guys in camp or like AC or whatever, or are you just, you know, listening to the music and listening to the comedians?
No. I spent way too much time over there to just cut it off. I had a Super Bowl party at my house, and there was, you know, a bunch of guys over there with that. I've texted with AC probably a handful of times already. You know, it's not just baseball players playing baseball together. These are people. We're people. We have relationships. And, again, other than myself, I had great experiences over there with everyone there. So, I got a lot of love and respect for all those guys over there. They were there in my corner when I needed them the most. And
you know what, 2018, you all kind of been trying to reach for something that's not like, it's not on a different. Is it being that kind of, you're coming back to a team that won 100 games last year and they're expected 100 and play top question mark?
Not, you know, excited expectations. A lot of life. It makes me feel younger, you know? So I'm excited to be here. You know, obviously I grew up in the South, so the Braves were a big, you know, team on TV all the time. And, you know, those 90s teams, you know, best in the league. So you know, just being around it a lot as when I was young and being able to wear this uniform now, I appreciate it, I respect it, and I'm excited for that opportunity.
Always good stuff from Chris Sale. Fact. All right, he looks good. So does Roman Anthony is an outfielder for the Boston Red Sox, as I said, came on strong last year, is now cracked the top 30 prospects in baseball MLB pipeline. And we've talked to a lot of prospects, a lot of top prospects. But, you know, I just want to give people the perspective of the mindset of how to deal with that heading into the 2024 season. This is one example, but I think it's a pretty good one. Roman Anthony, he's a top prospect. He's heading into the 2024 season. A lot of expectations. How do you handle that? All right. I hope everybody's having a great day. Enjoy themselves. Once again, we got a lot of great stuff coming up. I'm heading out of Florida finally. Last day here. Out of Florida and into the regular season. I'll be in Seattle to kick things off. So hit me up at Bradfo if you have any questions, any comments, anything. Or the socials, of course. Producer Evan doing an awesome job. At BB isn't boring. All right, here's Roman Anthony.
All right, so when you look at sort of, you go into a spring training like this, it's different than any other spring training you've been through, right?
Yeah.
There's, I don't know if you know this, there's a lot of expectations, there's a lot of attention, there's a lot of things. How has it been different for you?
Nothing's really changed, just kept the same, you know, mentality going into it as last year, just trying to learn as much as I can. It's been a little different, obviously, because I've been in some big league games, been surrounded by these guys. So the only thing that's changed is just trying to learn from these guys now and you know, sharing the field with them, learning how they go about their day. And but nothing really has changed drastically. I don't really look at anything outside the lines too much. I just kind of show up every day and you know, try to do what I'm supposed to do here.
Now, you say that. You're saying all the right things, right?
Yeah.
But they say that at the same time, that, like, when you get labeled as, you know, top 100, whatever it is, it becomes a different sort of thing, you know. And so how have you felt, like, you're doing all the right things like that, but have you felt that at all, even like a little bit?
No, I mean, honestly, no. I just, like I said, I haven't really changed anything. I haven't really changed the mentality of, like, coming into last year and not being in the top 100. Now that I am, nothing's really, like, changed. It doesn't change the way that I go about my day-to-day stuff. Like, my routine stays the same. And obviously, there's a reason that I got there, so why would I change that, you know? So it's, like, for me, it's just, you know, all that fluctuates so often. And for me, it's just, you know, it's nice to be in those conversations,
yeah,
like being in the top 100. And it's nice to see, but again, it's just, you know, I try to show up here, do what I'm supposed to do every day, and the ultimate goal is to graduate from that and to get to the big leagues and help this team win. So
what are you better at now than you were a year ago?
I wouldn't say I'm better at anything in particular. I think it's just overall, my overall game, like, has improved a ton from my first pro year, just because of how much I've learned at all the different levels, and I've matured more than anything. So I think just my game as a whole has matured more than gotten better. But then again, I mean, you're here every day, you work with these guys, like, it makes you better. And with the guys we have on the developmental side of things, all the different coordinators, like, it's hard not to get better every day. But there's nothing in particular that I really tried to, you know, get a lot better at, but it stays the same every day. I just try to get better in every aspect and, you know, learn from all the guys that I have around me.
What's the best compliment you've gotten? I mean, I'm asking you to crack through the modesty here a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
But, like, every once in a while, there's, like, hey, that hit, you know.
I think the big thing was, like, making strides on my defense throughout the year. Mm-hmm. At first, like, adjusting to, you know, last year pretty much playing center field every day, and then moving around a little bit when I got to Greenville, playing some right. But just being, like, adjustable and, you know, getting credit and making strides in the outfield more than anything, because, you know, a lot of times, you know, the hitting kind of writes the ticket, and then people always just look at the offensive side of things. But I think, like, working with Wimbo and working with the defensive coordinators here and making strides in the outfield as the year went on, like, seeing that after the year and talking over with the coordinators and them saying, like, hey, you know, you made some good strides, and you know, just trying to be as athletic as I can be in the outfield and stick, you know, wherever they put me for as long as I can. And, you know, not just being an offensive first guy. I think I try to take pride in that a lot. So when I hear something like that, like, hey, you've made really good strides on the bases or on defense, like, I think that's, you know, to me, that means a lot more than just the casual,
Yeah, do it in Florida, man. I told people, I said, I would never want to, like, be judged on defense in Florida, you know, with the wind in the sky.
Yeah.
But, like, it's the ultimate. So congratulations on
team. Yeah. Thank you, yeah. No, but, I mean, I think just, like, going throughout that first full year and failing at times and learning from that was huge for me. Just, you know, talking with all the different coordinators, like I said, learning from the different guys that I had, you know, whether it was teammates, managers, whoever it was at the different levels, and just kind of leaning on them with the experience they had and then adding that to my game. Like, I think when I was towards the end of the year, like, seeing that, hey, I made strides was pretty, pretty good positive for me.
Give me a good spring training story. Like, how, like, I can go back to in, like, when Mookie Betts ran a golf cart into a lake. You know, and you guys, it's a lot of hanging out time.
Yeah.
So just give me a good spring training story.
The one that comes off the top of my head is that our house got double booked with Tristan. And so we were houseless for the first couple of days of spring training, kind of scrambling, looking for a place. And so that was interesting for the first couple of days.
Wait a second. Let me clarify. So it got... So he booked it.
Yeah.
You guys booked it.
Yeah. So how it worked was we had a place that we booked through VRBO, and he had gone through the homeowner, who was a older guy, I think. And
yeah.
The son posted it on VRBO, unaware that Tristan's lived there for the last 2 years and just gone through that guy. And so we're on the way up to Fort Myers, and we call the guy, like, hey, what's the code to get in? What's all the entry information? And the guy's like, you're not staying here. And we're like, we paid for it on VRBO, and now we don't have a place to stay. And ended up telling us that Tristan had...
Wait, where are you when you caught talking to this guy? You're literally driving there.
We are about an hour and a half.
Hour and a half away.
Yeah.
All right.
And we're like, all right, let's call him.
All right.
Because we had stayed in the same neighborhood in the off season when we were here for like a camp.
Mm-hmm.
So we figured we'd just run that back. And as we were... about an hour and a half out.
Did you show up to the place and
No, we didn't show up to the place. We just
did you know it was Tristan?
Eventually we did. Like, not right away, but they said, hey, we already have someone here, and then as we kind of worked it out more and more, they're like, it's actually somebody on your team.
Yeah.
And they told us it was Tristan, but we were scrambling for quite a bit, and then they paid for a hotel for us for the night, and actually for two nights, and then it worked out well because they told us that they would kind of pay for wherever we wanted to go and cover most of it, so we took advantage of it, and now there's five of us living in a pretty good house.
These are the original five, or did you have...
No, so it was originally four of us, and one of the guys retired.
Oh, who's that?
Alex Arrow.
Okay.
Yeah. And so now it's myself, Chase, Miedroth, Marcella, Max Ferguson, and Matt Donlin.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
the crew.
So, and Tristan's sitting there. Is he living with anybody?
I think he's currently living with Yorkie. I think Yorkie.
All right. Well, I mean, you guys, like, I would have been like, hey, Tristan, like, we're going to live with you for a couple of days. Why would they figure that's not your...
Well, he wasn't there yet, so we were there a little early, and they're pretty much like, hey, the house isn't even ready. He's not going to be here, because he reported a little later.
Yeah.
He's a big league camp guy and didn't have to be there. We were there like the 4th of February. So they're like, this house isn't even ready. Like, nobody's staying here right now. Like, this is...
Yeah.
So
stay there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they said...
They said no.
They was like, no, this house isn't ready. And so that was a mess.
Man, welcome to...
Yeah, welcome to it, right?
That's a pretty good story.
Yeah.
You got any good other ones? Because, like, now I'm on a roll here.
Yeah, now it worked out well. It worked out well. We got a really good house. We're super glad to have it. We're right in downtown Fort Myers, so it's a good spot to be.
Okay. But no other good story? Like, no.
I'd have to think and get back to you.
Yeah,
I know there's some
rattling through your head. You're young people.
Yeah.
But it's the spring training's weird, right? It's like, it's counterintuitive that you show up early, and yeah. Mm-hmm. But as you're at the end of the spring training here, do you feel it? Like, now I'm here to pump you up, right? Do you feel it? Do you feel like, okay, you know, mm-hmm. I put in this work, I got my house, I dealt with all this stuff. Like, mm-hmm. I can feel like things are trending in the right direction, I'm ready to go. And by the way, I'm not that far from my ultimate goal.
Yeah, for sure. It's a little bit of a different feeling. Like last year, obviously, it was more of like, you know, I didn't really know what to expect. And coming into spring training this year, like, I knew what to expect. And then now getting some big league time, like, it just gives you that confidence of, like, hey, you know, I can – you play in those games and you spend time with those guys and you start to think, okay, yeah, now I can really, like, feel it. And it's close, and now I feel like I can really stick here. But I think leaving now, you know, now being that I'll start in Portland and go from there, yeah, it feels like you're that much closer. You know, obviously you're at a higher level, but once you get, like, to me, when I got to Portland, being in the Northeast, like, that was the first time I really felt it.
Yeah.
Okay, now this feels a little bit more real.
Welcome to crappy weather in baseball. Let's go.
But now it was a great experience, and that was the first time, like, being in Portland in Double A for that last week of the year, I was like, okay, it's starting to feel real and starting to feel like it's close. So.
Last thing, do you have a place to live in Portland?
Yeah, I think
do
so.
You?
I hope so. Yeah, right. They have us with apartments and stuff.
There's
and
no
good housing. So
there's no room for interpretation.
Yeah, hopefully, we'll be all set on that. So.
All right, thank you. Yeah.